Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Drinkers, we are back, baby. We are back. It is August 9th, and we are 2 days away from the first preseason game. We're going to have actual games being played. This one is at Ford Field against the Giants, and the Lions are hosting joint practices with those same New York Giants this week. Danny Dimes is in the area, as well as Saquon Barkley and everyone else along with the Giants. And we are going to get into everything that went on during joint practices, the first 2 days at least. But before we do, I want to introduce Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. So I'm Big Z. Let's get to the rest. We got Road Dog.
Yo.
And UJ.
Hi. Hello.
I just messed with you, UJ.
I know.
And UJ.
Thank you. That's better.
Yeah. So before we dive into the joint practices, nobody knew during a day a couple days ago what was going on. There's like some big news floating around potentially with the Lions. Like, was there a big trade, or were they going to trade for Chase Young or something like that? I wouldn't call this huge unexpected news. They signed
overblown
Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah.
To contract.
Lord.
Now, there's been a lot of noise that the Lions were looking at him and that there was a kind of a mutual thing there. I'm not sure what he was waiting for. Maybe he's just seeing all the opportunities out there before deciding to join with the Lions. But signs for a 1 year, $5 million deal, $2.5 million guaranteed. Pretty decent for a backup quarterback that's joining mid-training camp. And we're going to get into Nate Sudfeld maybe a little bit, but what I was reading, at least day two here, is that he's still been struggling. And this also happened to Nate Sudfeld with the 49ers. He kind of got traded to the Lions because they were comfortable with Brock Purdy as their backup / third string quarterback. So Nate Sudfeld just keeps going places to be a backup and then getting overtaken by another guy. Teddy Bridgewater is definitely the backup for this team, right, first of all? This is not Nate Sudfeld anymore.
I think pretty much, yeah.
Right.
I don't think you sign a guy like that and expect him to be third string.
But do you like the signing? Do you like the Teddy Bridgewater signing, Red Dog?
I mean, yeah, I like it. He's one of the higher quality names in the backup quarterback market. I mean, like you said, like he waited, I think, because he's the kind of guy who can kind of pick his spot. Like a lot of people need quality backup quarterbacks. So the fact that he chose us is a bit of a sort of a acknowledgement of where we're at, I think, because a guy like him's probably gonna want to pick a contender, and plenty of contenders don't have backups. I like it. He's good quality. I do think he's gonna have a legit battle with Sudfeld. I think the expectation is he will win that battle, but if Sudfeld can turn it on and put together consistent quality camp, and Teddy's struggling, I think it's a real competition. I don't think Dan Campbell's bluffing when he says that. I think the expectation is there, but you're not going to just give it to him. But I just want to bring up one thing I heard about him from Dan Campbell that did make me get kind of excited. Because, I mean, honestly, it's the backup quarterback. Who really cares? But
we care.
A little bit. But Dan Campbell talked about how what he would do with the Saints when he was there and on game day, because like all the press were asking like, oh, like, is he going to be a great example for Hooker and stuff? And Campbell's like, Hooker's already learning from Goff. Like, I'm not even thinking about Hooker. I think about what he did for the young receivers in New Orleans. He would, on game day, he would like pull all the younger guys to the side, the receivers, and just go over their game plan, just get them in the right mental state, and just basically be a coach. And like, I mean, maybe that's a common thing for backup quarterbacks to do. I've never heard of it. Usually you hear what they do to the quarterback room, not how they help the receivers and basically be an extra coach on the team. So I just thought that was cool.
Definitely. UJ?
Yeah. I what this signing tells me, despite all the preaching that goes on and the players speak where we play a one play at a time, one game at a time, one day at a time, and all that stuff, just trying to get better every day. I think these guys see the freaking Super Bowl, baby, and they want a quality backup in case something happens to Goff, because I really think Campbell and Holmes are they're shooting for it this year, man. That they think they can do it. I think they're not going to say it. They're going to say we're going to go one game at a time. We're going to learn. We're going to get better each play. Blah, all that stuff they always say. But man, I'm telling you, having a quality backup in a Super Bowl run season is vital. I mean, if your quarterback goes down, you got to have someone who's going to be able to carry the torch. And he's got 65 starts in his career. He's got a lot of experience. He's not going to wilt under the pressure. So, yeah, I think it was a good signing. I really do.
Definitely. And if Goff goes down, I think Teddy Bridgewater, especially with the Saints background, all these different offensive backgrounds, definitely offers much more upside than Nate Sudfeld, who's completely unproven to take over this offense. And the way Ben Johnson operates this offense, I think Teddy Bridgewater can fit right in and do a very decent job and still give the team a great chance to win the game. I really like the signing. I don't know if Nate Sudfeld will make the roster. Defensive lines want to hold three healthy quarterbacks since Hendon Hooker's not going to be playing.
Right.
So
that's going to be hard with all the other roster positions that are so stacked.
Yes, and you are allowed to have an emergency quarterback on the roster now, so that might help Sudfeld stay around if he wants to be. Otherwise, he can go somewhere else and compete for a backup.
Yeah, it's kind of not a good sign for Sudfeld, but, you know, it just shows how this game can be cruel, too. You know, I mean, this guy's been working his butt off, and, you know, by all indications, he's done everything asked of him. And it's just a cruel game, man. I mean, you're out there, the winning is the bottom line, and, you know, we're just going to take the best guy that can get you there. So, yeah, it's cruel. It's cruel. But,
hey, Z, I just want to mention something about what you said. Like, sure. I don't know about upside. I think Teddy Bridgewater's been around. I think we kind of know what his ceiling is, but what he offers over Sudfeld is like a really comfortable floor. Like, you know what you're going to get out of him. He's a proven commodity.
Yeah.
I think Sudfeld actually is sort of more of like questionable upside. Like, he's clearly not putting it together completely consistently, but he's put enough to like, and he's so young and growing that, like, I think that's why they don't like having him around, is you don't know what his upside is. You know, it could be where he's at now, but, like, I think they don't think so. That's all. I just think, like, that's what would be – he would have to have, like, a breakout, like, preseason game or something to probably beat Bridgewater, but
– Definitely. Definitely. Mention. I agree. I definitely agree with that. It's a good point. All right, let's move on now to – these joint practices that the Lions have had with the Giants. There's a lot of fun stuff. The joint practices are great. They are great. I find them much more interesting than, and I think the coaches do too, and the players, everybody really, as far as a gauge on where things are at, and especially for rookies and the one-on-one drills and such. A lot of very interesting stuff coming out of these joint practices. Day one, you know, we're not able to watch these things unless you're there in person. But yes, Red Dog, the Lions dominated by all accounts, offense and defensively. If this was a game, the Lions would have won by double digits, if not 20 points. Is there anything from day one that you want to stick out? Are you glad the Lions got off
so
the hot start right away here?
Sure. Why not?
Did you have day one, or do you want to talk about just day one and day two combined? Because day two, the Lions came back a little bit down to earth compared to day one, is what I read. There was a lot more turnovers from the offensive side. Defense gave up a little more in the passing game than they did on day one. We can break down some of the players' performances. But, UJ, I guess you go first if there's something you really want to attack.
I just think there's so many interesting storylines in this, and it is nice for the players to play against different people than themselves. And you know, I even remember this in college when I played, you know, hitting your own guys over and over, it gets really tedious. But when you get some new blood, it's awesome. So, and I know the guys are getting excited by that. But there's so many interesting angles in this one. The one that's curious to me, the one angle is the Brian Branch is killing it out there. And by all accounts, that they just can't keep him off the field, which is forcing them to move CJGJ to more of a safety position to keep him on the field too, which in turn means Tracy Walker is kind of slipping down the ladder slightly here, which is, I think this is a really interesting development. You know, Tracy Walker is tough for him coming off that injury and stuff and trying to work his way back. But man, they're, since he got hurt and now there's so much more talent on that team right now. And it's going to be hard. Branch is going to be hard to keep off that field. Really hard to keep off that field. He's killing it. He's, by all accounts, he's knocked down passes every day. I think he's got a pick. I'm not sure. But and you can see some of the little video clips that come out, too. He's just – he looks really good. I mean, really good. So
really good.
It makes you question how this guy fell.
I know. I know. It really
does. It's
called
stupidity.
It really does.
Unbelievable.
I mean –
don't you love how draft, like, all the draft, like, little things get in people's heads? Like, he ran a mediocre 40 times, so that's probably, like, the main reason he fell.
How many GMs are kicking themselves in the ass right now for missing
him? Maybe not yet, but when they see him in the season, they will.
I wonder how many of these cornerbacks that got drafted ahead of him are looking this good right now. Like, I mean, because the thing is, he's doing cornerback stuff. He's running stride for stride with freaking what's his name, oh my goodness, Cleef Raymond down the sideline, and then he does it to the same thing. I think the clip from practice was the same thing he did to the Giants guy, but he made it look even easier. Like, he made a perfect textbook knockdown on a go route. Like, that's so hard for safeties generally, like, because it's usually a mismatch between receivers and safeties, but not him.
Are
you concerned about the health of Tracy Walker falling to the second team, the fact that he's going to be
out? I don't think I'm – I think he came off a severe injury, okay? And it's really hard to expect a guy come back from an Achilles to be as strong as he was before the injury. And I still think there's some time involved here getting him back to 100%. Even though he's on the field and practicing and everything, I can't see how he'd be 100% right now. But, you know, I mean, you're going to see plenty of playing time. They're going to work him in the games and stuff like that. And he'll get better as the season goes. But it's got to be a little disheartening to him a little bit. But it seems like these guys have a great attitude, though. These coaches seem to not – what's the word I'm looking for? Doesn't let these guys get down, you know. They just want to compete. Yeah. And it's like they don't care who's starting almost. It's hard to believe. And psychologically, that's almost impossible to take if you're a player. But they seem to have that attitude, you know, and they're all supporting each other and everything. So,
yeah, and at least Tracy Walker got paid before he got hurt. So it's not like
he did get paid. Yeah,
like I agree, UJ. He's gonna get playing time. That's the thing. I don't think second string is gonna mean a whole lot to our secondary, because I think that's part of why we built this depth the way we did, is we're gonna be able to rotate guys and not lose a step. And I mean. Yeah, Branch is going to get playing time early on, and it is interesting that they're moving CJGJ back to safety, because that's where he was hyper successful last year, and obviously that's Brian Branch who's enabled that process. But I guarantee Tracy Walker is going to get some plays this year, and it's just going to be so interesting. Like, I could imagine a scenario where like Tracy Walker, Kirby Joseph, CJGJ, and Brian Branch are all on the field at the same time.
Yeah,
and like, gosh, just imagine that.
Absolutely. It wouldn't be out of the realm, like, if there's injuries on the outside too, that CJGJ moves to corner in one of these games and Tracy Walker's put back in the starting safety role.
Or Branch, for that matter.
Along. Hey, Z.
Since we're on the DB group, though, Chase Lucas has looked pretty decent in these practices too.
Z.
Yeah.
Z.
Hello, I'm a
Someone
late
snuck
Sorry,
into
guys.
The room.
Bob is here.
Whoa.
Snuck in.
He looks like a ghost.
He sneak in.
Well,
like
ladies
and
gentlemen, Bob has joined. Bob. We're talking about Tracy Walker and how he's been kind of moved to the second team. So I don't know if you want to quickly inject your thoughts on that.
Yeah. Well, I think it's all good news because, well, it gives Tracy Walker time to get his legs under him, and he's going to be playing. And it just Branch has stepped up so well. I think that's the headline here. And a Lions team with actual depth, at that position, I think that's
what's
amazing.
What's that?
Everyone's going to get to play. I don't think it really, like Red Dog was saying, I don't think it matters, team one, team two, or whatever. Everyone's going to be playing, And
definitely.
I think it's good. I think it's awesome because Branch is showing out. So. I'm excited.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's great.
So I hope I sound okay because I don't have my microphone with me, so I can't.
You sound great.
You're getting by. You're getting by.
Okay.
I want to hear you sing. I think your voice sounds pitch perfect right now.
Yeah, Justin. We'll be singing the Lions fight song a lot this year. Touchdowns.
Yeah. Keep hydrated. Keep those vocal cords hydrated because we're going to be singing a lot this
crucial.
Year.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Kid Jay, our producer, I need you to put in a train sound or something here. I'm going to try to do a sound, but. Because guess what? We're getting on the Jameer Gibbs hype train.
Yeah, yes. All aboard.
Oh, man, what a nightmare he's going to be for defenses. Especially day one with the first time this team got to look at him and go against him, the Giants I'm referring to. He lit it up. He lit them up. He's a matchup nightmare. Apparently, in day two, they made some adjustments and covered him a little better, especially in the red zone. They were trying some fade routes, I guess, and it wasn't quite working out. I wouldn't imagine Jahmyr Gibbs is a fade route candidate too much this season in the red zone. But nonetheless, he lit them up the first day, and I think that's going to be the case for a lot of teams that play us. Where they're gonna he's gonna surprise them with his speed, with his agility, and then they're not gonna get a second day to come back and play him again unless you're the one of the division rivals.
Did you see that video where he torched the linebacker on that one? Just like he sort of good Lord. I mean, imagine Goff when he comes to the line in the heat of the battle, the plays are starting, the defense is running around, the offense is getting set up, and all of a sudden Gibbs is isolated with a linebacker. What's Goff thinking in that moment? Touchdown, baby! It's a sure thing, man. No linebacker's going to be able to cover him. It's going to be amazing.
No.
Sick. I mean, how much, if you're a fantasy owner, for instance, I'm trying to put, how much do we think Gibbs is going to be using this offense?
Significantly.
Yeah.
Do we think he gets 4 catches a game and 5 carries? What are we thinking here?
He might get more catches than carries.
I think that's not out of the realm of possibility.
No, it's not.
Sure.
I mean, no, especially early on with Jameson out. I think he's going to get a decent chunk of carries every game, but obviously not as many as Montgomery. But, I mean, the thing about him is that I don't think it's going to be a thing about number of touches as so much as what he does with those touches. He's the kind of guy who makes things happen. I think his averages are going to be ridiculous. I think he's just going to be a big play machine.
Absolutely. I mean,
hell yeah.
Bob, you're on the Gibbs hype train too, right? We're all aboard this thing full speed.
Oh yeah.
First class.
I was excited from the moment they drafted him, and I've seen nothing to dissuade myself from that. Because he's going to be a weapon, and he's going to be a safety valve. If Goff does get in trouble, he's going to be able to pick up that first down. When we need it. So I'm excited for it, and big plays.
Yeah, and Road Dogs, bro.
They're on the table. Well, today he had a big play. I guess he was out of bounds on it, but he had a big.
Yeah, he made a catch in double coverage. I think on a fourth and long.
Ooh,
he
nice.
Just missed being in bounds, but. Yeah, the man's got hands. He's like a wide receiver that can also run the ball from in the backfield. But don't forget, Amon-Ra St. Brown can run from the backfield sometimes too. This team and Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fun times ahead.
Laporta,
we
gotta
talk about Amon-Ra St. Brown. Now that his name has been called out, we have to talk
about
that.
Wait, hold on a second,
because dear
God. Wait. Thank you, UJ.
Oh my God.
Get out of the train, people.
Never mind, KJ.
I'm the conductor.
UJ provides the sound effects.
I like it.
It's like an old 50s radio show. UJ, what else you got back there?
Train whistles,
Do you have wooden shoes to clog on the dust for a horse? Anyways.
Our Foley artist, UJ, here, yeah.
but Amon-Ra St. Brown, Red Dog, go
Thank
go
you.
For it.
Yes, Amon-Ra St. Brown, that man has looked so ridiculously good. Like, do you see that one from camp a few, like, last week where he caught it over the middle and all that Goff could see was, like, his hands behind, in between, like, the defenders, and he catches it out away from his body while he's falling to the ground. But, like, everything he does now, like, these, even these high, but, like, he looks like a whole new receiver, honestly. I think he's going to be even bigger plays this year, because here's an observation I've kind of had a feeling about watching him, is that he's, like, the most boring, big, like, best receiver in the NFL, because so many of his plays end at the catch point. Like, he doesn't have a ton of run after the catch, or like deep balls that are like
a ton of
big
run after the catch.
Yeah,
what are you
I
talking
disagree
about?
With
what? Wait, he doesn't just catch and fall down. He's like one of the leaders in the yak.
Okay, well, that's a dumb. But my point is, no, like, more like the big plays. Like, a lot of his stuff is more possession type
Jay,
stuff.
Stop. We're gonna clip UJ saying, or Rud Dog saying, that Amon-Ra is a boring wide receiver.
Wow.
No, stop. I'm
he's
no,
original.
It's not boring.
Not
oh my
fun
god,
to watch.
Shut up. The point is, like, the type of and he's even made this note of emphasis on his game this year, is he wants to make more big plays, like explosive plays, and he's like a consummate just chunk eater, like where he'll get like 15, 20 yards, but usually it's not like over the top, like vertical or sideline stuff, whereas this year, like, you just watch the balls that Goff is throwing him up high, and he's just catching it over receivers. Like, it looks he looks on a whole new level. That's all I'm saying. He looks,
I know,
like, he's going to be
talk about,
not only the best possession, but one of the best receivers, period, this year.
It's in his locker, Rud Dog. Make football fun for Rud Dog again.
Like, it's not like he's boring. It's just like, I think there's a reason he doesn't get lumped in with the likes of, like, Justin Jefferson and stuff, and it's not necessarily because they're better than him. It's just the way he was used. I think they've made an emphasis on the deep ball with him this year. Yeah, but, like, that's the thing. His style has been sort of a limiter. They're going to make him a full-spectrum receiver this year, like, using him to on deeper routes, high catches, contested catches and stuff. Like, I think he's going to be on a whole new level. Like, he's going to ascend to one of the top tier this year. But not that he doesn't belong there, but, like, people are going to recognize this year. He's not – Justin Jefferson, those guys, they're not – they're going to be – he's going to be right up there with them, if not better.
Bob, I think you're trying to say something there. I cut you off.
Yeah, no, I was just saying, Amon-Ra, he's already a great receiver on his own right. And I know he wants to work on that deep ball. That was what he was saying. He wanted to be part of that. But that's going to be up to him, because we have other weapons that are going to be doing that same role. But I think he's going to get a shot at it, and it'll be fun. We're going to get some versatility on our receiver group. And he can do it, you know, but I don't think that's going to be his main strength, you know, going forward.
No.
He'll probably kind of do what he's been doing, but we could use it when Jameson's out, you know, for now. So we'll see.
He doesn't need to. I mean, the first in the NFL last year on third down conversions was Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
he made a ton of clutch. And that's like a lot of third and eights. That's not just like third and one. So he's making long catches over the middle when needed.
Boring might have been harsh,
but
the point still remains that.
I think a better way to put it is he just makes it look easy. All right. He makes
it look
easy.
It's not just that.
He does.
But he was used very much as like a slot, like a possession guy who was catching a lot of stuff inside where he couldn't break out. Like, he did okay with the yak, but, like, at the same time, like, he didn't break off a lot of touchdowns. I think, what, did he get hawked on that one? He was
so in other words, he's sticking to his story that he's a boring receiver. We're trying to. I'm trying to help him out here, you know. But,
you're actually
trying to help
going
him out
forward with this.
It's not. Right, oh my! Well, boring might be harsh, but this point remains. He's going
to
be even more.
Yeah, we tried to help you,
right?
Tried
year
to help you bail you out there, but
well, stick.
Yeah. I didn't need your help.
Sticking on the offensive side, a rookie that just continues to verify everything that they saw in camp is Sam Laporta.
Yes.
He continues to just absolutely ball out. I hope we see him in the preseason game a little bit. I would imagine we would. Probably not like Jared Goff and some of these other starters, but man, he's becoming a favorite target of Goff's. Now, we've heard this about Hockenson in the preseason before, the tight end position, and then the tight end position doesn't always get targeted as much as the preseason sometimes. But nonetheless, he's looked really good. This is going against a different opponent now. I don't know. Did anybody else have something else?
Yeah, I think he's better than Hock.
Go ahead,
I think he's twitchier, better route runner. I think you're going to see more yards after the catch with this guy than you did with Hock. Hack is a good. I'm not trying to downplay him. He's a good player, but he had trouble getting separation. I think Laporte's gonna have a little. He's gonna have a lot better separation than Hack ever had, and more yards after the catch because of that. And he just. Have you seen this? He's so fluid and for a big guy and amazing route runner. So I think he's going to be definitely an upgrade for us. Yeah, I'm very excited to watch him play. Mm-hmm. I can't wait.
Yeah. Yeah, do you guys think, because tight end is notoriously tough for a rookie, you know, to be like explosive in that position. But I don't know. I think he's going to be able to show flashes with that catchability and he has his run ability. And I'm hoping when they get him worked in that we can see some of those long seam routes, you know, like that the tight ends can do, which we didn't see enough of with Hockenson. I never felt like they exploited that enough.
We haven't seen that enough since, like, ever. Like, I mean, like, Stafford, like, remember how many times we had, like, Pettigrew, Ebron were like, okay, seam routes. Like, we never saw them. They just never, like, tried it. It was, like, so confusing. But now, honestly, up until Hock left, I was still like kind of like, okay, they used Hock. They leaned on Hock because he was clearly a talented receiver. They basically made him a receiver. And where I think Laporta is going to excel is nothing against Hock exactly, but I think Laporta is a grittier player, and I think his blocking is going to be more effective early on because I think that was one of the big things that held back Hock was that he struggled through a lot of his early career with being an effective blocker. And like the thing is, like sometimes these schemes, these coaches, everything, it demands blocking first to be an effective receiver. Like you have to set it up by being a good blocker, and that takes chances off of just a pure receiver unless that's like what you want him to be. And I think I just see Laporta as he's going to be a little better at that, a little grittier, and then geez, just the skill set. He's a little faster than Hock, a little more agile. Like I think he's going to be ridiculous. Yeah. And he's smart. Like, everyone says he's picking it up.
Hock was the guy coming out of college that was known for his blocking, and then he wasn't so much in the NFL. And Laporta, they're downplaying his blocking in college, saying he's better receiver. So we'll see. We'll see. But those Iowa guys are usually well-rounded. So.
True. That's true. So. That's true.
Definitely tight end you.
And he's not going to be asked to do as much blocking, I think, as Hock was meant to do because he's a bit smaller than Hock was. Like he's a couple inches shorter, probably slightly lighter. Like I just don't think that's his role the same anyway. I think he's going to do a lot of blocking, just not the same type. That's where Brock Wright comes in. Oh, here. Guys, I would want to bring up something more about camp. Did anyone notice that Brock Wright is the – I'm saying they're all the rookies were not – placed in the first string. No rookie was placed in first string. Brock Wright was our start number one tight end.
Okay.
We still had Derek Barnes and Anzalone ahead of Campbell and stuff. Like no you know Montgomery was the number one running back. I don't think he was listed as the number one though. Right. Like no one was just given it though. I'm just saying it because I think it's cool that they're still going through the process and they're gonna make these guys earn it. Even if they're looking great already.
Quick on the tight end in San Laporta. I thought this was kind of fun. Do any of you know who has the best receiving rookie season from a tight end position ever? Does anybody know? Or want to take a guess? What's that you did?
Charlie Sanders.
No. He's not. Maybe not anywhere on this list.
Rob Gronkowski.
What about that? Who's the guy from the Browns who ended up psycho? Shoot, I can't think of his name. All right, forget it.
I don't know.
I have no idea. There's too many good tight ends.
Who is it?
Anyways, there's only two have gone over 1,000 yards in their rookie year. Kyle Pitts is second all time. He had 1,026 yards, and he basically plays like a wide receiver. He's barely a tight end. Mm-hmm. But Mike Ditka in 1961 holds the record.
Man.
Oh, wow.
What a season. Pretty awesome. 1,076 yards and 12 touchdowns. This is in 1961 when the tight end position is not what it is now in terms of receiving.
Wow. So, no. That's pretty good.
Yeah. And
I was thinking of Kellen Winslow.
Games played. 14.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
So, that is incredible.
Thanks for that.
I thought that was interesting. Maybe can Sam Laporta break it?
who wins in a fight, Ditka or God? Trick question. Ditka is God.
Well, now we got to put Campbell into that question. Who wins in a fight, the Hurricane or Campbell?
But wait, the Hurricane's named Campbell.
Another rookie that's been sticking out by all accounts is Starling Thomas, the fifth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you guys read about him at all, about how he's doing in camp? Because he
complete baller.
He appears he's repping with the second team right now, undrafted free agent, yeah, rookie out of
Speedy.
UAB. But apparently a very vocal player as well. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Not a name necessarily we've discussed too much, but a guy that's been really sticking out, has a really good chance.
Yeah,
to this roster.
He's trending towards making the team. So
on that same vein, Z, I should probably mention him in the same voice. Dylan Drummond, receiver out of Eastern Michigan.
So I was going to.
I didn't mean to jump the shark there, but
it's
very possible. It's very possible that we can have two undrafted free agents make the 53-man squad. That's unbelievable. Yeah.
It's
unbelievable.
It is crazy, especially with the talent we have.
Yeah, it's incredible.
So what are they seeing out of Drummond, UJ? Tell us kind of what kind of player he is. Is he like a tall, lengthy guy? Is he a short little guy like Amon Ra?
It's funny because I've been trying to find videos of him and things like that, and I'm having a hard time. I mean, with the Lions, you know, camp and stuff like that. But all I know is what I've been reading from the coaches and everything else, and they seem to be just enamored with this guy. He just every day he shows up. He's beating people every day. He's just doing everything, making all the catches, contested catches, everything. He just keeps impressing these guys. So, I don't think they're just blowing smoke here. I think there's something there. Yeah. So,
you know what's going to come down to?
All these injuries.
At the very least, what it comes down to for those guys, too, is how they perform in special teams.
Yes,
that's
true.
Usually where you try to make the end of the roster in that regard. How good are you on special teams?
And I've heard good things about Drummond there.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. He's 6 foot. He's 6 foot 186. Ran a 4.640 at his pro day.
Yeah.
So he clearly has something going on with agility and twitch, but. Yeah, it's remarkable. I mean, he's in a unique situation, too, where we have all these injuries to our top guys. Like, well, not just injuries, but suspension of JMO, but Mims is hurt.
Right.
There's been limited time in the top end of our roster, guys getting banged up. So, I mean, the door could be there, you know, if he's just got to walk through it, keep it up, and show something in the preseason games.
Yeah, and who knows? I mean, this guy in his junior year, he had a collapsed lung and some horrible injury that really ruined his season. And it took him a while to come back in his senior year, but he did. And maybe that's kept him from getting drafted in the first place. So this kid definitely has talent, obviously. So it'll be interesting to see if he makes the team. But I think he's got a good shot at it, to be honest with you.
Be cool.
Yeah. I guess Khalif Raymond's been a big mentor to him, too. He's really soaking it all in. So
how do you not love that guy?
Speaking of Khalif, did you see that route he ran, that dirty, like, in-out route on the clip they showed on DetroitLions.com? I think it was in their, like, highlight video. Like, he put his legs, for one, look like tree trunks right now. All these top dudes just look so svelte on the Lions. It's ridiculous. But he looked so quick. The defender, like, never got near him. He just shook him and made an easy catch for, like, what would have been, like, 10 yards with a run after. This dude is looking just top-notch right now.
Nice.
Another fun note from this joint practice. Imani Aworiyeh now plays for the Giants, or trying to make the roster.
Yeah.
C.J. Gardner-Johnson was getting all over him about how he can't cover anybody. So I thought that was funny because it's true.
Told him he was soft. Don't he have the grit?
Yeah. It's true. It's savage. I love it.
Oh, man. That's crazy.
CJ Gardner-Johnson is going to be a fan favorite this year.
Absolutely.
He is a lot of personality. Everywhere he's gone, he's a favorite of the fan base. I know the Eagles fans, as we discussed on this podcast before, we're really sad to see him go. And for the Lions to pick him up will be huge from a developmental standpoint for the young guys, but also for his.
He's infectious on this secondary, though, man. His attitude and his grit, his vocalness, you know, his being outspoken. I think it's rubbing off on all these guys, man. You can see it with Jacobs and Joseph and all these guys. It's great. greater city.
I think it's going to be a frustrating bunch to go against this year. That's one of the long-term stories, too, because we only have him for 1 year. And if he produces like we think he's going to produce, like the chip on his shoulder, the fact that he turned down a lot, you know, he went for a 1 year contract because he didn't like what he's being offered. Like, this dude is out to earn that big paycheck. Like, I'm just so curious to see if we're going to be interested to re-sign him after the year. Like, you know, that kind of thing. Is he going to become a foundational player, or they're going to, I mean, it's like, cause if we still have Tracy under contract and he comes back, and then it's going to be an interesting development, but yeah. I hope he makes it real hard to let him go.
Well, after the Super Bowl, everyone's going to want to get paid, right? So we'll see.
Oh, true, yeah. True.
We haven't had those problems yet. I guess winner's problems, right?
But don't we have, like, the most players on, like, rookie contracts or something like that? One of, like, the most in the league? Like, we're in a great position to not make this a one-off, like... Like, that's where, like, I get, like, kind of, like, I'm not, like, into, like, the make a mega trade, because I don't think we need to make a mega trade. I think this roster has enough talent to make a run and not make it a one-off like the Rams did. Like, we can just keep refueling this thing and just keep – well, the standard has been set, and they're going to just – I think they're going to elevate the standard this year. And going forward, this team, I think we're set for prolonged success.
Definitely. Well, was there any other quick notes that anybody had for joint practices?
One thing I would like to note that call it good news, bad news. Good news is Derek Barnes seems to be really balling these days. Bad news is that Jack Campbell hasn't necessarily just outright won the starting job. Or I don't know if that's even bad news. I don't know, whatever. But, you know, you want the best players. But the competition in the linebacker room has gotten really good. And seeing Barnes step up is obviously great. It took him a couple years, but it looks like he's finally getting it. Campbell, I think he's going to have some rookie struggles, but I'm not down on him by any means. But I think he's just taking slightly longer to outright win the job, you know?
It's still a tough position.
I mean, it's a tough position.
Yeah.
It's still early, and by all accounts, where his rookie struggles came in, like, he made up with his sheer athleticism and size in a lot of ways. Like, the dude is just a freak out there. But I wanted to bring up a thought I had today. It just occurred to me. Did the media and everyone freak out when Tampa Bay drafted Devin White in, like, the top 10? An off-the-ball linebacker, because that's, like, taboo. Because I'm just sitting here thinking, like, try to tell me Devin White wasn't, like, quintessential to the that Super Bowl run. Like, their linebackers were so good that year. Him and Lavonte David, they were so fast, so good. Like, they made such a huge impact. Like, so, like, having a guy, like, an elite player like Jack Campbell, to me, is just like, come on. Look at that. Like, how is that? Like, someone just did it recently, drafted an off-the-ball linebacker who was huge in a Super Bowl run. So, I don't know. I just thought I'd bring that up because I found that, like, silly complaints. This dude's going to be a stud. Also, major news point, in case I don't know how it didn't make our outline, but Levi Onwuzurike is Onwuzurike? I don't know, but
you
whatever.
Got it?
He's putting together days, and not only that, he's finally starting to, like, get results. He won some one-on-ones. He got a sack. He got a run stuff. Like, I know he's not. I don't know who he's got to beat out. Probably Benito Jones, which might be hard because he's our only monster in terms of size on our D line now. Is that like Aleem has lost weight and is looking at more of an attacking role. Like, we don't have a true nose tackle outside of Benito Jones, but, like, our top four, I think that's who he's competing with. And if I'm just excited about his potential, because he has that elite quickness that could be truly disruptive. And just in the same breath, the same tweet had, or I'm sorry, the same X had. Broderick Jones and him winning one-on-one reps for clean, like, quick sacks. Broderick Martin is looking just like he's going to be something this year.
Definitely. You don't think Broderick Martin's going to play nose?
I forgot about Broderick. Oh, my God.
You just mentioned him.
I did. He's the only other monster. I did kind of forget that he's the monster nose. That was a blank. But still, we only have one, and I don't know if you need two, because nose tackle can be done by smaller, strong guys. But sometimes you just can't beat that like 340 pounder in the middle who just can't be moved.
Yeah. Well, all right. So I want to move on now to Friday here. Okay. So. We're recording this on August 9th, so this will premiere on August 10th. And the following day, when you're listening to this, will be the Lions' first game of the year. Woo! Now, it'll be a preseason game, but it'll be at Ford Field playing the Giants.
Sold out.
Friday night. So, speaking of sellout, the Lions have sold out all their season tickets for the first time in franchise history.
And the preseason games for the first time.
Yeah. So the hype is real.
Baby.
And if you aren't drinking the blue Kool-Aid, well, you're not listening to this podcast. I expect our listenership to go up way up this year, because a lot of people will be drinking the blue Kool-Aid now, and they'll be drinking it after week one, week two, week three. It'll be flowing like the 40 days and 40 nights of Noah. Like, there's going to be Kool-Aid everywhere, filling up valleys.
A sea of Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid. Oh, my God. Yeah.
See, that's like when, like, people make fun of nerds, like, trying to bother nerds and are like, I love Star Trek. Noah. That's the one with the lightsabers, right? Like, just mix so many stories together. That's
hilarious. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Today, I'm in
a sea of Kool-Aid.
But to build on that, see, you're not going to be able to escape the Kool-Aid. The Kool-Aid's going to come for you. Everyone's going to find the Kool-Aid. That's going to be hard to avoid.
Yes. So, anyways, sold out preseason game Friday. I don't know who's going to be playing in it. I highly doubt Goff and Amon-Ra and most of our stars. Yeah. Probably the rookies for a few snaps, depending on which rookies. Otherwise, end of the roster guys. But nonetheless, 3-point underdogs we are. 3-point underdogs for this game, believe it or not.
My
At
God.
Home. Like, what? Wow. A sold-out preseason game? We're underdogs? That's free money right there, I think.
You're pre-season just proving betting. To me odds makers will make odds on freaking anything. Like, okay, no one cares about winning, and we're going to make odds on who wins it. Come on.
Of course.
Hey, can I mention something about the preseason game, if I may?
No.
No, you're not allowed.
Okay, sorry.
Go,
you Oh, did. Thank you. DetroitLions.com is doing an alternate broadcast for the first preseason game. And I think it's going to be kind of interesting. I might tune into that because they're going to have all kinds of guests on there, including, and I will name some of them, Brad Holmes, Chris Spielman, Gary Danielson. Bobby, you met him one day. You blew that meeting.
I did.
Glover Quinn. Golden Tate, and then some other guys that are like non-football guys, like Kirk Gibson and a couple other Detroit notables, from the Pistons and stuff like that. It sounds like an interesting broadcast. So DetroitLions.com, you're gonna be.
And I like that they're bringing those guys back, even like guys who
I do too.
Guys that were fan favorites, because can you imagine this happening 10 years ago?
Oh my God, I think all those ex-players are. Are just soaking this up right now, wishing they were part of this, what's going on right now. Because I think all those guys had notions of being in that, setting. It just never happened for them, unfortunately. So, I think they're all living vicariously through what's going on right now. How could they not? It's awesome. Bring them all back, man.
Well, the broadcast idea is good because it'll make the preseason interesting on some level, which it isn't generally, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're right.
Maybe Rud Dog will finally not be bored.
Oh, I don't find preseason boring.
So you find preseason more exciting than Amon-Ra.
I didn't say that.
That's what you're saying.
I said boring was an extreme word, okay? I couldn't think of a better word.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, well, I think preseason's fun in terms of when you're just so hungry and getting to like analyze the roster at a little bit of a deeper level and seeing what all the rookies and the undrafted and like guys do to like the guys you haven't seen yet, see what you might be, you know, what gems you might have hidden on this roster. It's just, it could be kind of fun if you're willing to like watch and analyze a little bit, look for performances and stuff. But I got a question just about the last 2 days of training camp I wanted to ask you guys. Do you think it matters that we got clapped back on day two, that we took the bottom position, so to speak, that like we dominated day one but then got sort of dominated day two?
Did we get dominated day two? I thought it was like an even kind of split.
It seems like everyone wanted to give the Giants the credit, but go ahead, Bob. Sorry,
I think the Giants got a little credit, but I don't think that's a big deal. I mean,
no, I don't either.
I don't know. We're not rolling out the playbook for everybody.
I agree, and it's we showed up day one. You know, if you were preparing for a game, it's not like you play 2 days in a row. So we showed up day one and dominated. So I'm fine.
And I believe this game's on NFL Network. So if people are looking to watch it, aren't local within Michigan, I believe the game should be on NFL Network. But anyways, let's get our quick predictions, our first predictions of the year.
Yeah.
And Bob, I want to start with you.
Love it.
All right. Well, I look for a non-exciting matchup. well, it's the Kool-Aid crew, so I have to pick a win, even though I don't care if they win any preseason games. But I'm going to say they're going to win 21-14 with a Sudfeld late touchdown pass.
Ooh.
I don't know.
What about a Sudfeld dropkick for 3 points to win the game?
Bolstering his bid against Bridgewater.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I doubt Bridgewater gets in this game. I don't even know if he's
practicing. He's not here yet.
Yeah,
that'd be a little hard.
I don't think so.
What's when he's not here.
Cleveland's starting their starter. What's his face?
Watson.
Yeah, Watson. He's going to be playing in the preseason.
Mm.
Oh, well, he needs it because he looked horrible last year. Yeah. Like, horrendously terrible.
But, yeah, what do you guys think?
It's also their second game. So.
Sure.
Rud Dog, your preseason prediction.
Ooh, this is a tough one, you know.
It's
Giants,
a tough one,
a tough team. No, I think.
We do the hard job.
I think we're a deep team now, and I think our depth will get the job done, and we're going to walk home with the dub today. This week.
Mm-hmm.
I think you know, starters won't even play much, most of them anyway, and I think our depth will get it done. I think we got so much quality talent on this team that I think most teams' second strings will fail against ours.
So what's your score?
Yeah.
Oh, 31-0.
There it is. All right.
Okay.
Wait for it. All right. UJ.
All right. I predict the Giants are going to win 27-17.
What?
Yeah.
First of all,
is that the first?
You think it's bad luck?
Now let me just explain myself here, because you know, in the preseason, I always root for us to lose at least one game. So you got to start with the first game and hope we lose that. Then you don't care what happens after that. But since 2008, I'm sorry. I'm just snake bit. We won all our preseason games and lost every regular season.
You don't like being preseason national champions?
I got to get one loss in the preseason. So I have to have it. There has to be one loss, okay? So 27-17, the Giants are going to win this one. You know, we'll have a couple of shiny little plays here and there. But in the end, we're going to lose this one. Thank God. You know,
but UJ, we could go
UJ
23-0 on the year. You don't want you like
look if we do that
regular season.
If we
post-season.
Do that, then the curse will be broken, and I will never bet against them again. But until then, until that curse is broken, I would need them to lose one preseason game. So this is the one.
Oh my gosh.
All right.
I think this team is above such superstitions, UJ. They're going to show that it doesn't
still have
matter.
Superstition in me. Sorry.
I think
Let
a better
the old
season
same
would be a
old
winless
Lions
preseason
go,
and a lossless regular season. I don't
yeah,
think
exactly.
Season.
No, but
yeah,
ever since
I'm
sorry, but living down the embarrassment of preseason champions in 2008, It's a hard thing to shake. I'm sorry. It's just really hard to shake for me. And
you don't like... They should really be hanging a banner in Ford Field for 2008.
Those days are gone.
They should.
And
those days are gone.
And completely defeated
season.
Yes,
they are gone. Yes, I know. But we
don't trade big guys. Oh, go ahead.
I was at the game where they dropped the playoffs banner. It just said playoffs. That was like the most embarrassing thing as a fan.
That's
and,
horrible.
They took it down after that.
That's pitiful.
Oh, man. That's great.
We had something to hang our head on, guys.
Yeah. We participated.
They thought it was going to play with the fans or something, but everyone in the stadium was like, what the hell? This is terrible.
What were they thinking?
I'm going to go 20-17. And I didn't mention this camp battle, but Riley Patterson appears to be taking a small lead. He took he took most of the kicks in practice, although Parker Romo just had a baby girl yesterday. So, but he'll be back for the preseason game. He just left for one day to have his daughter and then come back. So, or be there for the birth of his daughter, then come back for the game.
So who do you think's going to win with that score, Z?
The Lions, of course.
Oh,
I don't like you, Jay.
Good.
I actually root for my team to win.
I root for my team. I have to have one loss in the preseason. Sorry.
So UJ thinks we're going to lose. He needs. To
I don't
some
think.
Kool-Aid.
I hope. I want us to lose this one game in the preseason. Okay. I don't care if we win the other two. That's fine.
Lions
that's
lost
awesome.
Predicted.
This is the first time
Lions
in predictions
lost
history, I think.
Yeah, but our predictions are always regular season predictions. That's a different story. Okay.
UJ needs some Kool-Aid, maybe.
Oh, I got Kool-Aid. I got lots of Kool-Aid. But I also have some superstition left in my body. I'm sorry. I lived through 2008. You know, some of you people listening out there, you youngsters out there who didn't have to live through that. You have no idea.
Yeah, you 12-year-olds. You're lucky.
You 12-year-olds. Listen to your Uncle UJ.
So we always get to a good point in the podcast where it's time to stop.
What?
It's time to thank everybody.
Oh,
I've decided that this is that point. And I want to thank our producer, Kid J.
Kid J.
Oh, that was horrible.
Dear God.
Horrible.
That
was the worst ever.
What was that?
Wow. Y'all took way too long to get into it.
You know what? I think it just really threw me that UJ predicted a loss for the Lions.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, it's just the lack of Kool-Aid was disturbing.
Sorry, man.
We want to thank our producer, Kid J, for just absolutely crushing it every week on the podcast. Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. Let us know your thoughts on the joint practices, on the upcoming preseason game. Twitter/X at Drinking Lions. Follow us on there. We got the blue check mark, so you know it's us. And thank you to SidelineReport.com.
We paid for that.
For hosting the podcast. We greatly appreciate that. And of course, thank you to you, the listeners, especially if you've listened all the way to this point of the episode.
Especially.
We really, really appreciate you. Like immensely.
Yeah,
I'd be your friend.
And I hope.
As I am.
You're not as think as I drunk you are.
I hope that you found this podcast more exciting than Amon Ra St. Brown. Red Dog, we're not going to let you live that one down.
Good one, Z.
So on that note, we want to thank everybody for listening. We greatly appreciate you. We'll be back early next week. Talking about that first preseason game and some things that stood out from there.
Yeah.
But last but not least, as always,
go.
Lions! Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go! Go.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.